This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And as I always say, this program is important for all people because the right to preserve your culture, your heritage, your values, your freedom, your independence, those are rights that every people should have. In fact, they are the basics of human rights and the basics of so-called freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, I am now into the second day of our 21-day fundraising appeal to launch again the new edition of My Awakening, a book that has transformed so many people around the United States and around the world. It's a big job getting this book back into print. Prices have gone up a great deal, and this book is so important because I don't think, and I think most people would agree in the movement, that I don't think there's any book that is more effective on reaching new people, nor do I think any book is more effective on giving people who are already convinced, who already have an understanding of our ideas, philosophy, positions, giving them the means, the data, the information, and the correct approach that they can use to win new people to the cause and to talk about these issues, write papers about these issues, make leaflets from these issues, and certainly reach the people that are most important to them in their own lives. You know, we all have sometimes problems with family. It's very difficult to convince a family member on some of the issues we believe in. After all, we're just James or just Fred or just David. And what do we know? They've seen us when we've burped. They've seen us when we've done worse. And why should we know about anything more than they might know? But when a book gets into their hands and when they are touched by the power of this book, the information that's in it, the incredible quotations from Jewish sources, if my book is anti-Semitic, then I tell you, Jewish leaders must be anti-Semitic as well. If my book is racist, then science must be racist. Actually, it's not anti-Semitic and it's not racist. It's simply a book that deals with the realities of life. And it treats every race with respect and with the appropriate dignity that every people should have on the planet. I don't want to be supreme over anybody else. I don't want our people to hate anybody else. I simply want our own heritage to survive and to be free and to live in a society reflective of our own culture. And every people on earth has those kind of sentiments. I also believe that there are people on this planet that are truly of a supremacist nature. And there's a will to power that exists among every race and every nationality, or at least has from time to time in the history of the world existed among different races and nationalities. It's a natural thing. People strive and struggle to be dominant, to win more land or achieve a bigger business or a bigger farm or, for that matter, a bigger house. And sometimes there's struggle between peoples. And people that don't stand up for their own particular culture, for their own particular heritage, for their own particular rights and freedoms, they will be swept away. And the massive immigration that's coming into European societies will sweep away our own individual heritage, the integrity of our culture, the values of our fathers, and the values that we want for our children. I have a lot of respect for all the different cultures of the world. I've been all over the world. I've been to Japan. I've been to China. I've been to Southeast Asia. I spent a lot of time there, in fact, during the Vietnam War. I've been to India. I've been to Pakistan. I've been to Israel. I've been to many Arab countries. I've been all over Europe. I've been in Russia. I've been in South America. I've been throughout and in every state of the United States and, of course, in Canada and many other places. I don't think I could list all the places I've been. And I have a lot of respect for every people wherever I visited. But I can tell you this. I have the greatest love and feeling for my own culture. And that's how I want to live. They can live the way they want to live. And I can find it very interesting to visit those cultures and to try their food and to listen to their singing and their dancing and their own respective cultural expressions. But our people have that same right. And that's what my awakening is all about. It's also about the most supremacist people on earth, and that, of course, and they are the ones I call Jewish extremists and Jewish supremacists, because they do seek to dominate. They do seek a supremacy over our media, over our government. And they have a distinct hatred and distrust and fear of us. Their literature is full of the terrible crimes that we are supposed to have committed against them and the hateful things we've done against them over the many centuries. There is very little, though, in our popular literature of the day of the crimes that have been committed against our own people. And yes, there were many. And racism comes in many forms, and ethno-supremacy, ethnocentrism, racial hatred comes in many different aspects on this planet. And I can tell you that what I call radical Judaism or Jewish supremacism has one of the most hateful track records of any organization or any people on the planet. Not all Jews are part of this policy and program, but it certainly is a powerful influence on the Jewish community and indeed on our own community. And Jewish extremists have literally led our foreign policy in the Mideast, have made this country support Israel with billions and billions and billions of our tax dollars, and support Israel in complete opposition to every true interest of the United States of America. I wanted to share with you a letter that a supporter wrote to me today, because I think it's a very important letter. It's about Walt and Mearsheimer. And I've read Walt and Mearsheimer's new book. It's called The Israeli Lobby in U.S. Foreign Policy. And by the way, Walt and Mearsheimer say some unkind things about me in the book. They also said some very unkind things about me on a recent interview on one of the major networks. And I have this to say about that. I agree with Walt and Mearsheimer that the Jewish lobby is very powerful, that they have controlled American foreign policy against the basic interests of the United States of America. But the Jewish lobby has not been able to do this simply because they have a lobby in Washington like the National Rifle Association. You know, we've had increasing gun control, but we have the National Rifle Association, which is probably even bigger than the Jewish lobby in the specific size of the organization. However, APAC, which is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, they actually are just one small part of the Jewish lobby. They may be the biggest, but there are many other groups. And the truth is that Jewish extremists can be rounded up to support or to oppose financially important candidates throughout the political spectrum. You cannot, though, explain our foreign policy just by the fact that there is a lobby in Washington called APAC. You have to understand also their incredible influence, their positions of power and influence in the media. They dominate most of the major media in the United States of America. In my book, My Awakening, you will read the chapter on, you know, media supremacy, and you will read incredible facts of the Jewish extremist control of American media. And I can tell you it's more than anybody would practically suspect. I mean, it's more than you could possibly imagine. And when you start seeing the names, the power that they wield in media, it's just completely overwhelming. It's shocking to any individual who's not aware of it. And I know for a fact that this power wouldn't exist as well, except for their influence in terms of the economic sector. Let me read the letter from one of my supporters, and he says a lot of important issues, or brings up some things, and then I can make some comments. And we can go about our business for the day with this update of day two of our fundraising project for My Awakening. And we can go about and continue to educate our friends and family on these critical issues. Here's the letter. Dear Mr. Duke, last month I purchased a copy of Mearsheimer and Walt's book. I found it to be a welcome entry in the public discourse, yet simultaneously disappointing in terms of facts and evidence. I've taken the time to write a review which you might find of interest. A review of the Israeli lobby and U.S. foreign policy by Bill Matthews. Mearsheimer and Waltz, The Israeli Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy, is a groundbreaking work that has opened the public debate on Israel's influence in America. The book's thesis is simple. The United States supports Israel not because it's a strategic asset or even because it is a strong moral case. In fact, say the authors, our unconditional support of Israel is due to the existence of the powerful Israel lobby. Perhaps the greatest credit to their thesis are the personal attacks and difficulties the authors faced. The Atlantic Monthly commissioned the original paper and then rejected it despite its compliance with the publisher's requests. Once published in the London Review of Books, the authors were called slanderous, obsessive, and irrational, and conspiracy theorists. The arguments in the Israeli lobby were recently published in an expanded book version. While Mearsheimer and Walt put Israel lobby into the spotlight, their argument is in fact quite limited. They rightly declare the lobby to be unique in its ability to influence policy. Simultaneously, they restrict themselves to examining the lobby itself and not the influential group behind it, i.e., Jews. Mearsheimer and Walt categorically reject the, quote, canard of Jews controlling banks, the media, and other key institutions. Because of this, their thesis becomes incredibly simplistic. Mearsheimer and Walt describe a lobby with the power to ruin politicians and foment wars abroad. This lobby is the same as any other. But what gives the lobby its power? Clearly, not economic or cultural power, because that would be an, quote, anti-Semitic canard, unquote. But let us examine this canard. Ben Stein, a well-known Jew involved in Hollywood, wrote an article on E! Online that estimated at least 60% of Hollywood was under direct Jewish control. What about the sphere of banking? A Jew has been chairman of our Federal Reserve banking system for the past 20 years. The world's bank's previous two presidents were both Jews. The latter, Wolfowitz, was a key policy planner in the invasion of Iraq. In government, Jewish males held 28% of the cabinet positions in Clinton's presidency, despite 1% of the population. The head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, is a radical Jew. In the Supreme Court, Jews hold 22% of the positions and are only 2% of the population. Our newly appointed Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, is also an extremist Jew. Mearsheimer and Walt believe these facts to be, quote, anti-Semitic canards, unquote. At the end of the book, the best solution the authors can find is to, quote, foster a more open discourse that will undermine the excesses of the Israeli lobby. I ask these gentlemen, how will you do that? How will you open the public debate when the media is in the hands of the Jewish extremists? How will our government take a stand against Israel when its key positions are held by extremist Jews? The flaw of Mearsheimer and Walt's The Israeli Lobby is not any slanderous or conspiratorial accusation of Jews. Their flaw is addressing the issue of the Israeli lobby while totally overlooking the power of those behind it, extremist Jews in powerful positions in government and finance who support Israel and the Jewish agenda. An excellent piece, and of course, very, very true. It does disturb me that Walt and Mearsheimer would attack me when I have been saying many of the things they've been saying for years. I said it while they were quiet in the shadows during the 67 war, and we can go on further, during the attack on the Liberty. We could talk about all the events that have happened over the years. They sat quietly in their academic ivory towers while I was out there in the front line talking about the power of international Zionism, talking about the power of the Jewish lobby, talking about the fact that these extremists have so much ungodly influence over our government, over our courts, over our culture, over our heritage in the United States of America. I guess they feel they win some sort of pundits and applause by the media when they attack me, the supposedly biggest enemy of Israel in the world. But to me, it doesn't make any sense. And it's like people when people are commonly attacked by a very powerful enemy, it seems they should hold together and not start attacking each other like rats on a sinking ship. It just makes it makes me sick to think that these individuals don't have the guts, they don't have the courage to stand up and say, well, a lot of things David Duke says is true. Some we agree with, some we don't agree with. And that's what's really disappointing in the whole process. I've been, you know, in some ways, Dershowitz, the Harvard professor, the advocate of torture who was supposedly a human rights activist, but now he advocates torture, and also, surprisingly, so is the biggest supporter of Israel, it seems, in academia in the United States of America, and has supported the torture that Israel has levied on the Palestinians for so many years. And he said specifically that Walter Mearsheimer sounded exactly like many of the things that I wrote here at davidduke.com. In that sense, in many ways, it's true. I've been talking about these issues a lot longer than Walter Mearsheimer, and I don't deserve their criticism, and I will continue to speak openly and honestly about everything. I am not an anti-Semite any more than they are anti-Semites. They've been called anti-Semites for the same reason that I've been called anti-Semites, because they've attacked just a small sector of this Jewish extremist power. And I guarantee you, if they expanded their book and their thesis to talk about the issues that our letter writer brought up, if they would have done that, there's no question in my mind that they would be hated and vilified at the same level that I've been vilified over the years. But, ladies and gentlemen, truth has a way of winning out and getting stronger over time. People know the truth instinctively when they hear it. It just makes sense. And I believe that what I say here in the website, not what they say I say, but what I actually say, which people can now thankfully read for themselves and hear for themselves on the Internet, I believe when people actually encounter and read and study and question and think about what I've written, I think they will come to see that I've been right. My awakening is a great step for waking up our people, and I hope that everyone listening to this will go ahead and make sure that you give us some support to get the funds we need for the reprint of this vital book for waking up our people. Thanks so much for being with me today. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow on day 3 of our fundraising appeal. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast.